Well, good morning to all of you. Happy anniversary. You're looking good for 23. Yeah. How many what? How many times 23? I can't speak for you, Norm. Folks, what's your names? Guys, nice to have you here today. Great to have you. Anybody else? Yes, welcome them. Thank you. Anybody else feeling new? They'd like to be recognized today? Donna, nice to see you. I see you brought your sidekick. Yeah, that's good. All right, let's start. Rich, can we start with the pictures? We had some very interesting events happen this week, and many of you know about them. It's so Colin and Marg had their 70th anniversary this week. CTV News there, Casey Colby from the Barrie station was there, and Marg and Colin. Colin did a nice interview on the television if you saw it, but they were at the end of the driveway. 70 years married. I don't know. How many of you think you're going to make 70? Is there anybody else going to make? You're going for 85? 75 years married. Your husband's going to be really old when you get 70. Yeah, he's going to be. Yeah, he's going to be old. He's going to be an old boy. Yeah. I remember one time I was doing a marriage counseling course in Etobicoke. I ran these courses out of the library, so people from all over would come, and at the end of the Saturday afternoon, we finished around 4 o'clock, Friday night, Saturday, the one couple came up, and they said, "We've decided, Dr. John, not to get married." And I said, "Okay," because that's the whole purpose, you know, "What's your reason?" And the fellow said, "Well," and he looks at the woman, and she goes, "Well, we realized that if we married for a long time, we're going to look like our grandparents. So we're not getting married." I didn't know how to answer that, because it doesn't matter what person you marry, eventually you're going to look like your grandparents. Like, you know. So anyway, so they thought, I guess, if they married different people, they'd look younger after 50 years. I don't know, but anyway, that was their reason. They said, you know, we're going to look too old, so we're not getting married. I go, okay. Anyway, so a couple of things for today. After the service, we're all heading over to the Christian campground in Aleville, to Tojo's Christian campground. Doug and Deanne have set everything up. We're going to have just a real shindig. So get your lawn chairs, grab a sandwich, or stop at McDonald's, and then we've got all kinds of cold drinks and ice cream treats, and we got games for the kids, and we're gonna have a blast. Originally, Kathy Scorns was going to be baptized, but she just found out her dad's internment is tomorrow. So she's got to go out of town for that. So she's kind of sad, but we're going to have a lot of fun. So are there any questions? Do you all know how to get there? Yes. All right, because I don't want you to phone me and say, "I'm up near Midland, Dr. John, and I don't know where I'm going." Okay, so we're going back to Elmville, and we're going to have a great afternoon. So there are also picnic benches there and things, so if you don't have chairs, don't worry about it. Okay, upcoming events Monday and Saturday, those are the two prayer days, 2 o'clock on Monday, 7 o'clock here at the church on Saturday. Ladies, don't forget your back meeting here 10 o'clock on Wednesdays, and then Thursday night is our study night here at the church, and we're working through the book of Proverbs. Birthdays. Roy, I understand you're turning 39 on Monday. Is this true? That's true. Well, a happy birthday to your brother, and I hope you have many more 39s. Norm's hoping for a lot more 23s. Okay, so we good? Oh, did you hear that, Roy? Carl had a profound statement. You better tell him again, because that was so profound. You better say it.
They said, "You're 50 years older than you were 50 years ago."
Exactly. And Roy, if that doesn't cause dementia, nothing will. Okay? And Brandon also has his birthday on Thursday. I don't think Joan's here, but we want to wish her a happy birthday. But May, for this, is Joan here? Oh, Joan, you're hiding behind this young couple. That's the way to stay young. Sit next to young people. That's great, Joan. So happy birthday to you. And May, a very happy birthday for you. And I hope your husband gets you a cake with 23 candles on it. That's. Oh, well, there's redeeming feature. Thank goodness for friends. So happy birthday to you. And Bob Rayford is turning 89 this week. So we want to wish Bob a happy birthday, too. Special anniversaries. Mark and Leanne our 25 years anniversary, and that's on Tuesday. And the McMeekins, who just headed out to Kelowna, they have their anniversary on September the 17th. Audrey really misses us. She's finding it really hard. So if you wouldn't mind, give her a call on her cell. I think it would just bless the two of them. All right? I'll leave that with you. And the DeSilvas, of course, they're next Sunday. Okay. Anything else for announcements? Sheila, any updates from you? Richard, any updates from you? Anything else? We good? Did you all get the Daily Bread devotional booklets? There's some on the door. If you didn't get them for the next 3 months, they're there for you as well. Anything else other than what Norm was trying to say? All right. Let's quickly go over the prayer and praise, could we? So we have a couple of things. Many of you remember Sue Hansen and Andrew, and they moved out out west, and they her dad has just passed away. So if you would think of her and give her a call or an email, I know she would really appreciate it. Monica's friend Laura needs an affordable place to live, and so we're hoping for that for her. And then also, other prayer requests, let's take those now for prayer. Anybody else has a prayer request? All right. Praise notes. Just wanted to let you know that Sheila is fully healed. That's the praise note. Yeah. And the other praise note is all the women get to go to the hairdresser again. Yay! Must be nice. All right. Anything else for praise? Yeah, so we're moved into the condo just down the street, and so everything's, and we moved Becky into Waterloo yesterday, and so everything, we're good to go somewhere. I'm glad to be here. Okay, let's just take a moment to pray, and then I'm going to ask Tonga and the team to come up and lead us in worship. Father, we just thank you for this day. On this special anniversary, Lord, you've blessed us in so many ways over this time. Father, I think back to the time that we first even became a church, and the blessings we've had, the folks that have been involved in our opportunity to be a family for these years. And I just pray, Lord, that these next 23 years would be just terrific as we seek to serve people in this community, as we seek to win this beach for Christ, and all that you've called us to do. Lord, thank you for the love we feel toward one another. And Father, as people are slowly able to start to come back to church, we pray that everybody will just look forward to seeing each other again. And even our anniversary, the celebration this afternoon, as many will be joining us, that, Lord, we'll just have a great sense of your faithfulness. Father, for all the notes of praise and all the prayer requests, we just give them to you. You know what Sue is going through, and you know what Darren is going through and Kathy is going through. Lord, these people all need a special touch from you. And so we just thank you for hearing our prayers. Bless this time, and as we sing and worship you, that you would inhabit these praises and be blessed to have us worship you today. Thank you, Lord. And amen. Tonga, thank you. Bye, guys. Have a good time. Next week I'll join you and Pastor Carl can preach. Or maybe, Bob, you'd like to, you know, next time you're up, just come on up the pulpit and hold forth for us, will you? So 23 years. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more time seems to speed up. Is that, do you find that? I find Sundays every second day now. And the amazing thing is time goes faster, but you can't remember what you did yesterday. You know, I remember one time saying to folks, okay, so 5 years ago, do you remember what you watched on TV? No. But isn't it amazing how many times we get bent out of shape and this and that? Do you remember what was in politics 5 years ago? No. Do you remember what your tax base was 5 years ago? Oh, yeah. Remember my tax? Yeah, it's funny what you remember and what you don't remember. And so over these 23 years, and today I want to reminisce a little bit. It's a little bit of our story, and I just want to share it with you. And I'm going to start with Psalm 119, and you're going to think these verses are kind of odd, but you're going to find in a minute why. And this is David writing, and Psalm 119 is one of the most poignant psalms you could read about David's life and things he's working through. And in 84, verse 84, he says, "How long must your servant endure when you judge those who persecute me? The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They do not live according to your law. All your commandments are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me. They have almost made an end of me on the earth, but I have not forsaken your precepts. In your steadfast love, give me life, that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth forever, O Lord. Your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You've established the earth. It stands fast. By your appointment, they stand this day, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will not forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me, for I've sought your precepts. I think all of us could agree to those verses. If it wasn't for the Lord, where would we be? So I want to use those verses kind of as the background to what I want to tell you about, because for some of you, maybe you haven't heard part of this story lately, and I thought you might find this interesting. Jane and I, and our two oldest children, Andrew was 8 at the time, and Beth was 3. We arrived on October the 1st, 1994, to take a lead pastor position in another church here in the beach. Now, I had told the Lord I was not coming to Wasega Beach. No way. Jane's parents had a cottage just over here at Blue Water, and when I would date Jane, she said, come on, I'll take you into Wasega Beach, and you can see all the biker gangs. Well, that was really exciting. And, you know, there were strip joints, and there was all kinds of stuff going on. Yes, there was rides and the beach and everything else, but there was a lot of just sleaziness in the. And I said, I'm not going to Wasega Beach. But as we discussed 2 weeks ago, remember the sermon, Lord, because you say so, I will? All right? So this is a lot of because you say so, I will. So anyway, the Lord and I had a long discussion. And so we came to Wasega Beach. Lord said, you're going to Wasega Beach. And that was settled. We moved into the manse there on River Road. And 4 years later, even though that church had doubled in size and was over 300 people, I got fired. I got terminated. And they said, well, we don't know how to terminate you. Could you please at least write your own termination letter? So I did. And so at that point, Rebecca was just 1 year old. Just a little one. I was hurt, and I think what we heard there in David, he said, you know, the pitfalls are all around. They've dug pits for me. I felt like I'd been thrown into a pit. And then in verse 87, he said, but I did not forsake your precepts. There's one thing I realized in all of life, no matter who talks to you or what is done to you, you've got to know what your core values are. You've got to know what you stand on, and there was no way I was changing what I believed in who Jesus Christ was, and that I owed him my total allegiance, and I answered to him for all things. No secrets. Well, that summer of 1998, we had until the end of August to be out of the house, the manse. We didn't know where we were going, what we were doing. And then one of the men phoned me up, and he said, a number of us have been talking, and Colin Bailey said, would you consider staying in Wasega Beach and starting another church? To which I replied, I'll talk to Jane and we'll pray about it. My brain was screaming, no way am I staying in this godless town. So Jane and I prayed about it. Now, Colin had said it would obviously be a church plant. Now, we did a church plant in Etobicoke back in 1982. I know how much work there is in a church plant. Bob and Ann, you know that. If I had to move and stack one more set of those plastic chairs, I was going to die. You remember those things? You sit on the back and the back caves in. And so everything was moved. We had everything portable. And so I go, oh, I'm not doing another church plant. I'm not. So in the summer of 1998, the Lord and I had several in-depth conversations. I told the Lord, I'm not staying in Wasega Beach again. This time I felt legitimate. I'm hurt. And I told him, certainly, I didn't want to do another church plant. He listened to me, and then he gently and firmly reminded me that he was not only healing me, but I worked for him. Sometimes we've got to be reminded we're not our own. We've been bought with a price, and yes, it's tough, but you've got to go through it, and I'm going to be with you. I'd prefer I didn't have to go through it, and he could still be with me. How many of you would just prefer to eat ice cream every day and not have to worry about it? Thank you, Dan. I appreciate that. We got one person. I said to you 2 weeks ago, you could eat your way across this town in the summer and eat at ice cream places. Anyway, that's another story. So I told him I wasn't going to work for him. He said, you are going to work for me, and you're going to stay in Wasega Beach, and a new church needs to be started. Again, my brain is screaming, no way, but again, because you say so, Lord, I will. We'll start a church. So I phoned the school board, because in Etobicoke, we'd rented a school for $39 an hour on Sundays, morning and evening services. They'd given us the entire school for free. We had classrooms for midweek groups. We had a large classroom. We even had a 30-piece orchestra in those days. We had everything we needed. I phoned the school board here in Barrie. I said, I'd like to rent a school. They said, lovely. I said, which school could you give me? Well, we'll give you the Worsley Street School. I said, that would be lovely. I said, what would it cost? They said, $500 for 2.5 hours. I went, so that's for the whole week? She said, no, that's 2.5 hours. I said, and by the way, you got to rent the piano, you got to rent the chairs, you got to rent the music, you got to rent the sound equipment, and you got to rent the extra space for classrooms if you want to have Sunday school. But we'll try to keep it at $500. I didn't have a job. I didn't have any income. I didn't know if I was going to have a salary, and I certainly didn't know where we were getting $500. So I said, we'll take it. Colin said, that's a good idea. Let's start the second Sunday in September. And so we did, and people started to arrive. Oh, we put out the chairs, and there was a piano, and it was out of tune. We had to get a fella come in and tune the piano. They wouldn't cover that cost, but they were glad that we tuned it for them so they could have the teachers play it all week. But anyway, so we got started. So I started to make a list. We didn't have a pianist. So a young lady by the name of Yvonne Livingston, she said, well, I'll come and play for you. And then when she couldn't play, another fellow, Richard Byers, he came and stepped in. And then Grace Saul stepped in as a retired teacher. And then Andrew, our son, at the age of 17, he'd learned to play guitar. So for 8 years, he was doing guitaring here. And then Donna Medill stepped in. And we've had somebody coordinating the music the entire time for praise and worship. God's good. It's been fantastic. Then the elders came alongside. We had a church board form. Colin was our board chair, and then Jim, you carried on a few years later, and then Phil Brown is our current board chair. We had a deacon's board. Dave Thornton, he ran that, and then Phil Farrow and Bob Jones. We had treasurers. We had Rob Simerson and Leanne Britton, and now we have Sheila. In all of it, we had teachers. Steve Middleton, Gail Simerson, June, Jane, they ran the young people. When we started and we got into this building, Jim ran our adult study class. It was... everything was in sequence. Things were covered. People, Jim and Grace, when we were in the school, they would come with boxes of books. Every Sunday, we'd put tables out in the foyer, and they'd put books out, and we had a portable library. Now it's easy peasy. We've had to downsize. But in those days, they hauled those books every day. We even had a small orchestra for the first few years. Don, don't take it personally, but you're in the top 20, okay? All right. On May of 2001, this building came to our attention. The only building that came available in almost 10 years in this town. It had been a bar. It had been part of the Winchester Arms chain. It was the man had gone bankrupt on January the 1st of 2001. The thing sat empty. People were going to buy it. It was back and forth and back and forth. Finally, the real estate agent in May said, it's come on the market again, hasn't sold, would you like to see it? So we trooped in the doors there. The thing was all black with red. There was a huge bar here, fully stocked. There were still butts in the ashtray. It was like all the heathen had gotten raptured. It was weird. We walked in, we sat down, the booths were down here, and Colin stood at that side, and he said, well, here we are, what do you want to do? And a fellow in the back said, Pastor, I'll give you $1,000. I said, that's great, we only need $273,000 more. We're good to go. So Colin said, what do you want to do? He said, we're going to do. We all prayed, and the next thing you know, we put an offer. So the night before we were going to put an offer in, I was lying in bed thinking, how are we going to pay for it? Because the bank said, we don't touch you, you don't have any collateral, you're not even an identity. I mean, we were incorporated, but you have no collateral. So I phoned the treasurer first thing in the morning. I said, Rob, I said, what are we going to do? What do you think? He says, oh, four families have just stepped up to the plate and put the building on their lines of credit. Three for $75,000 and one for $50,000. We're good to go. I'm going to the bank this morning. I went, whoa. Four families stepped up the plate just like that. Well, then we get into the building. Well, they kept the power off, the heat off all winter. So all the pipes had burst and everything. There was sewage all through the basement. It was an absolute mess. And then when they came to take out all the units, the fridge units, everything, they punctured the thing. Freon went all through the place. And then the day they closed, I said to Steve, Steve was a police officer at the time, I said, Steve, I get a feeling they're going to try to steal the air conditioning unit, big 5-ton unit. He called me at prayer group that night. He says, yep, they stole it. I go, wow, what next? Well, anyway, we got into this building. I remember May, she's taking nails out of boards. Norm was doing electrical. Different ones were working. We put up this whole big wall here, put in the sound booth. We just worked like Trojans. A guy came in one day and he said, what do you need? And didn't know who he was, a stranger. And we said, well, we've got some money down for chairs. The chairs you're sitting in cost cost $5,000 for the chairs. And we had $2,500 given for the chairs. And the fellow said, what do you need? Do you need an air conditioning unit? Well, we'd already bought the air conditioning. No, we're okay. He says, well, okay, what do you need? Well, we need $2,500 for some chairs. He goes, fine. Writes a check, gives it to the guy who was sitting here working on the floor, walks out, never seen him since. So we bought the chairs. I mean, everything all the way along, people did volunteer work. We had a fella come in, he painted the entire roof for free. I think it's time we're going to have a little more work done it, but don't look up there right now. We're going to work on that this fall. But everything was just handled, and God was in all of it, and we opened on the second Sunday of September, and we started to sing praises to the Lord, and then when we walked into this building in the fall, we started singing praises to the Lord again. So I took a little record of some of the things that were going on. So here's some of them. Many of you remember Jean Acri. Jean Acri came to the Lord in her 80s. She accepted the Lord in her 80s. She had an indoor pool. She had what I call the mansion in Wasega Beach, down at the end of Innisbrook there. And she said, Pastor, I'd like to donate my pool for baptisms. So we did. We started having baptisms year-round. In fact, I'm sorry that Cheryl's not here this morning, because in June of 2002, on the 23rd of June, Cheryl got baptized. And Ann, you got baptized in 2016, I don't know if you remember. And Barry, you came to the Lord, I think it was that same year. It was interesting events. People were coming to Christ, people were being baptized, and then we went through a two-year period where we had a big Reach the Beach event. So all these teenagers in the long weekend would be walking down here, and we set up bouncy castles and all kinds of things and free hot dogs and bottles of water. And we would be feeding 800 kids a day during the long weekends on Reach the Beach. It was incredible. Incredible opportunities we had. Rich, I remember November 2002 was the first time you took all the men to Promise Keepers. And we got all our men involved in that, and we haven't looked back. I remember Christmas events. Your wife, Miss Suzanne, she had all the girls all dancing and white and halos. I've never seen children look so angelic in my entire life, and what she was able to do every Christmas. In December of 2004, Irmgard began to help us with the worship. And that was the year also we started all the midweek Kids Zone program. So all the kids were, I remember we had volleyball nets set up here, and they were playing back and forth. And I remember thinking, Lord, please don't let them take out the fans. And they didn't. It's incredible. In all of it, we had ladies groups, we had men's canoe trips, we had the kids' church. Linda ran the nursery, Gail and Jane ran the children. I don't know how many kids accepted the Lord in junior church, but there were all kinds of. We had so many kids accepting the Lord, we bought literally a box of 24 Bibles, children's Bibles, that we could give out to children when they came to Christ. Christina, when she was running it later, she needed another box of Bibles for the kids. Like, it's incredible the opportunities we've had here. We had a missions committee. We started a deaf ministry. We had what was called the Girls Ignite Group. We had VBS programs. January the 17th, 2010 was when we met Christine and Tonga for the first time. And 2012, Barry, you and Mono accepted the Lord one Sunday together. It was really cool. And then we started having barbecues at the Britons. I'm a big believer that you should always have food and fun with worship. I think those are the top three. Wouldn't you agree? And from day one, we've always had hospitality. This COVID is killing me. I want to be able to have more fellowship. I want to be able to see you without your masks. I can tell when you smile or laugh because your mask wiggles a bit. But, you know, everything is just, let's get back to normal in that sense. We also found that we started our program of a vision, and we have it here, declaring the truth, mentoring the willing, serving the many. We realized that was our call to this end of Wasega Beach. Gina began to work in our gardens. Bernice Frewer worked there. In 2014, we changed our name from Wasega Christian Church to Wasega Community Church. We wanted to have more of a sense of an outreach for people. And then we brought in Elections Canada. We brought in the Good Food Box. We had AA. We had Seniors Moments. A lot of midweek things because we were trying to reach the beach according to what the needs were. Crystal, I remember the day you started to sharpen pencils and put in little notes in the backs of chairs. Great ministry, girl. Thank you. And then there was Riverside Church in 2017 in the afternoon, 4 o'clock, and it ran for 8 months with Sean. Then in March 2020, what happened? We got COVID. We got signs posted on the door, and I decided I was going to keep preaching. And I stood over here, right here, and there was a box there, and I looked at that little camera, and Phil and Richard were there, and Jane sat beside me, and that was it. I told the fellas after a while, I said, guys, you're great, but I'm sure getting bored of looking at just the two of you. One day, Jane brought in a whole bunch of stuffed animals, put them on a little table. She told me I could have a congregation. What I found was great was nobody talked back, but it sure was quiet. I am so glad you're all back here. I got to the point, and I've told Norm this, I was even glad when Norm started to speak up. No matter what he said, it was a voice in the wilderness. Thank you, Norm. And so all of this is, again, how do we have an opportunity for worship? The one thing that's hit me in the last 2 years is I will never take corporate worship for granted again. We were rolling along as a church. We were enjoying life. We were doing all kinds of things. We were working on different projects. We were laughing and carrying on. All of a sudden, we got isolated. And it was like, your arm got cut off. Where's the family? Oh, you could talk on the phone. We could do Zoom. We had Zoom meetings and all kinds of things, but that wasn't the same. So what I realized is, no matter what happens, they can't stop us from loving the Lord. And we're going to keep loving the Lord to the best of our ability. Even if we can't meet together, still, we're going to do what God wants us to do. So what's the next 23 years look like? I don't know, but I think it's going to be exciting. I'll tell you, it's going to by just like that. You thought this 23 years went by fast. The next 23 years are going to be going fast. So I want to end with this scripture because while David talked about the hardships that he was going through, when he wrote Psalm 100, I think this capsulizes where I see us as a church family today after 23 years. And it's a simple mandate that we do every day individually, and then it's a mandate we do as a family together when we get together like today. And the first part of Psalm 100 and verse 1 says, make a
joyful noise.
To whom?
To the Lord.
How much of the earth? I can't worry about the rest of them. I just better be doing it, and you'd better be doing it. Second part, serve the Lord with what?
Gladness.
What's that mean? Come on, what does gladness mean? It means, and I've told you, in this church, we're going to have no GMCs, grumblers, murmurers, or complainers, okay? You can bring Toyota, but you can't bring in GMC, okay? And we're going to serve the Lord with gladness, which means our attitude. The only part of our life that we control is what? Our attitude, our reaction to life and how we deal with things as they come. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with? All right, how many of you don't feel you can really hold a tune? One. Who else doesn't feel they can hold a tune? The rest of you are two. Well, you're being honest. Okay, does it say come in to the Lord's presence and be in key? Or does it say just start singing? You're just so glad. I appreciate my wife. Like, this past week has been a blur. I told her at some point, I don't even remember seeing her for the whole day. Cars were going and boxes were going and everything. But one day we were driving in the car somewhere. I don't know where we were going. And the next thing, my wife's singing. And I'm going, oh, she's singing. And she was singing to the Lord. And I'm driving. And I'm just thinking, isn't that nice? So should we not do the best we can to sing? But certainly we come into his presence. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So enter his gates with thanksgiving, not just gladness. Enter his courts with praise. And what's the difference between praise and singing? Tonga, you're the worship leader. Get up here. Come here. Here's a skill testing question for you. What's the difference between praise and singing?
Put me in a spot here. Praise and singing, right? Well,
you failed.
No, no, Norm, give him a break. I'll bring you up next, and then we'll see what happens. Singing is just you're singing the words.
So, singing is singing.
Yeah, praise is it's very different in focus, right?
Yeah.
We know who we're praising. Thank you, Tonga. Don't you love our associate pastor? The guy's going to age 25 years in the next 5 months with me. But anyway, bless the Lord. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is what? His good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. So we trust him for our children. We trust him for our grandchildren. We trust him for our nieces. We trust him for our nephews. We trust him for all our family members. We even trust him for all the ones who right now are fighting him. His faithfulness to all generations. But family, where do we get built up? Moments like this. My prayer every Sunday is that when you leave those doors, you leave with more faith than when you came in. And I believe God does that to us every time. So with that in mind, why don't we just pray and let's just thank him for 23 marvelous years. Father, I just want to say thank you. It's just been a pleasure to pastor this church. You work in such amazing ways and continue to do so. Father, all of us have grown in some way in our faith, even through this last 2 years. But Father, we know that you have more for us, far beyond what we could ask or think. And so with that in mind, we just commit ourselves again to you, your faithfulness. And our part is to come into this place with thanksgiving, with praise, with gratefulness, and with singing. And Lord, as we go out into the world through the week, remind us that we are your ambassadors to a lost and dying world. And so, Father, as we have this celebration this afternoon and enjoy fellowship, again, it is all about you. Because if it wasn't for you and the supernatural beginnings of this church, many of us would never have met each other. And so, Lord, thank you again. We bless your name. Amen.
Church, why don't we all stand together as we sing our last song. Father, we thank you that we can come into this place after 23 years and remind ourselves that you are still faithful.
Yep.
Father, you've gone before us. You have been with us. People have come and gone, but you have remained faithful in all these things. Father, as we look forward to this new year, we thank you in advance for all that you're going to do in this place and through us as your sheep. Teach us, O Lord, to be your people, alive and well on the planet Earth. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. All right, Tojos, let's go.